More than 500,000 American children are in foster care. For some, shuttling from foster home to foster home becomes a way of life. Child advocates have challenged the practice as harmful to children. In Washington, a group of former and current foster children have sued the state's Child Welfare Department. It's an attempt to force the department to change its practices. A judge ruled the case may proceed as a class action suit. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports the case centers on individuals such as Amy.
Missy. Come here, Tigger. Come here.
As she sits on the floor playing with her cats and chatting with her husband, Amy looks like any other 19-year-old living in her first apartment. But for Amy, this neat and cheerful home about an hour from Seattle has a special meaning. After spending nearly her entire life in foster care, this is the first place she can really claim as her own.
I have moved 50 different times. Shelters, pre-adopt homes, therapeutic homes, 26 different schools. It was really hard for me to attach new bonds with teachers and with friends. And to this day, I am at a 7th grade reading level and a 5th grade math. So I am pretty puny.
Amy, who asked that we not use her last name, was first removed from her home by a state social worker when she was 3. By the time she left foster care, she had had about 20 different caseworkers.
All my life, I've been considered a caseload, not Amy, not a person, and I just have no identity.
Children such as Amy are moved for a variety of reasons. Sometimes there are multiple attempts to reunite a family. Sometimes kids are put into temporary homes because there is nowhere else to put them. And sometimes they are moved because they are just too difficult. Some of the best data on foster children is compiled by the Chapin Hall Center for Children at the University of Chicago. The center says that approximately 13% of all foster kids in the U.S. will be moved 4 or more times. The longer children remain in foster care, the more times they are likely to be moved, and that can lead to social and emotional problems. Children's Hospital in Seattle runs a program for kids with problems forming attachments and relationships. The director, Matthew Spelt, sees lots of foster children. He says a child moved from place to place may not be able to develop roots or trusting relationships.
That's related to school achievement, to the quality of friendships, to the later quality of marriages and other partnerships with people. So being unable to connect to people or to be socially related is an extremely fundamental set of skills that, if that's disrupted, it affects everything.
Citing issues like those, Amy and 12 others brought the lawsuit against Washington State. They contend that the state had an obligation to provide a healthy environment for them since they were in the state's custody. They are seeking monetary damages for the hardships they've endured, but their larger objective is to win a court order mandating changes in the child welfare system, changes that will ensure that kids are placed in stable, loving homes.
The play is really, at this stage of the process, have made a prima facie case that the system is broken and needs fixing.
Last week in Bellingham, Washington, Superior Court Judge David Nichols ruled that this case could proceed as a class action on behalf of perhaps 3,000 Washington State children, a move that could add significant weight to any judicial finding in favor of the foster children. Judge Nichols compared the children's situation to that of prisoners, whom the state takes into custody and then is required to care for. Bill Grimm, an attorney for the California-based National Center for Youth Law, says he and the other lawyers on the case have turned to the courts for a very basic reason.
The legislature enacts laws that the agency flaunts and disregards from year to year. The executive department enacts regulations that they flaunt and disregard from day to day. In our system of government, the courts are the body to which one resorts and has the right to resort for a remedy when your statutory or constitutional rights are being violated.
Bellingham attorney Tim Ferris, who filed the original case, adds that there are specific practices the courts could require.
For example, providing mental health treatment, providing information as about the history of the child when it's being placed in the home, providing foster parents with adequate training. All those things are designed for providing stability in the home so that these children get in safe homes and their stable homes.
Their arguments were bolstered last week with the release of a Washington State Institute for Public Policy study that showed that most long-term foster children suffer emotional problems and almost 40% are severely troubled. Yet, according to the study, many of the children receive no mental health treatment. The state and the Child Welfare Agency acknowledged that the foster care system could be better. Still, Assistant Attorney General Jeff Frymond emphatically disputes the notion that the court should intervene. The legislative and executive branches, he says, are working to solve the problems.
They've strived mightily to address these and other issues that are involved in the child welfare system, and they've been quite successful. So what we are suggesting is that they should be allowed to continue, and that it would be improper for the judicial branch of our government to essentially act in a legislative role.
For decades, child advocates have turned to the courts to try to compel changes in child welfare policies. But this case is the first to explicitly tackle the problem of moving kids from foster home multiple times. Experts across the country say that in the past, court orders have helped to produce positive changes in some cities and states, but in other places, litigation has had little or no effect, and on occasion has resulted in practices that do more harm than good. But litigation or not, one major problem persists nationwide: the overall shortage of high-quality foster homes. Darlene Flowers of the Washington State Foster Parents Association says that this state alone needs another 1,000 to 2,000 foster homes to add to the 6,000 already licensed.
If we could change one thing that would change the entire foster care system, it would be to have an adequate supply of foster homes that are trained and skilled to take care of our children.
Too often, she says, social workers must place kids wherever there's an empty bed, even though they know the placement is not ideal and won't be permanent. For Amy, the Washington State lawsuit holds the promise that other kids won't have to be bounced from place to place and won't have to endure what she did.
I know there's thousands of foster care children today that are struggling to be in homes. A lot of kids. I mean, that's one thing I really hope to get out of this lawsuit, where these kids can actually be heard and to be in a loving home and environment that they deserve.
Child welfare experts everywhere will be watching this case. Lawyers for the children are looking for nothing less than a mandate from the court that will affect real change here and provide guideposts to use throughout the country. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Bellingham, Washington.